Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. And I'm going to tell you guys, today we have a really good show for you guys. We got Mr. Carl Robinson on the, as a special guest with us. But before I go any farther, I have to introduce the host of Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and this is Ms. Tamaya Gaines. Ms. Tamaya Gaines, she know what she doing. She's a host. When I say a host, she's a host. So y'all just kick back and just enjoy the show. And I'm going to ask Ms. Gaines if she don't mind bringing Mr. Robinson on air with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for that warm introduction, Mr. Brown. You know, I got to say, every time you play that intro, ain't no stopping us now. You always stop right in the middle of me doing a snake. I was on like my second twirl. So anyway, welcome to the Talk Show family. My name is Tamaya Gaines, and today is December 15th, which means we're only 10 days out for Christmas. So if you haven't wrapped up your Christmas shopping, you want to get out there ASAP because the shelves are looking quite empty and time is winding down. Other than that, I want to bring something to everyone's attention. I overheard in conversation the other day that there was a gentleman who had over half a billion with a B dollars in Bitcoin, but he lost his hard drive and couldn't recover it. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money for people who can physically touch their money. So when we're talking about crypto, this is money in the computer. We're looking at dollar figures, but still, it's actual money. Call me old-fashioned. I like to have my money in my bra somewhere where I can reach down and grab it. But tonight's guest, Carl Robinson, is going to talk to us about how to avoid some of these pitfalls with cryptocurrency, the pros, the cons, and some other exciting things that he has going on. So without further ado, I would like to introduce our dynamite guest, Mr. Carl Robinson, who's going to talk to us about Bitcoin and several other things he has going on. So Uplifting Community family, give Mr. Carl Robinson a very warm welcome. Thank you for joining the show.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Carl Robinson, of course. Thank you so much, Tamaya. Thank you, John, for having me on the Uplifting Community Talk Show. I am super grateful to be here. Actually, I'm going to give you a little gift just to start out and to keep things warm and warm it up, you know, bring a little bit of also what I do is I'm a poet, singer-songwriter. And so throughout the podcast, I'll be or talk show, I'll be delivering a little bit of that. So here we go. Let's begin this session with a lesson, a story of my own. A 25-year-old child in a body full grown. A walking disaster, a king without a throne is not a king at all. Find a prince in prison for not listening to the things he saw. Poverty is a war because life costs. Earning minimum wage makes me a slave to a capital force. However, I am divine inside my mind created by the source. I digested the truth that I had a choice. I could move forward, live my best with no remorse. Focus on love, execute the course. Average I am no more. My script is not written by melanin or lack thereof. I am chosen because I choose me to rise above. All those who obstruct my way, I pay with an attitude of gratitude and refuse to agree with negativity to the words they say. Speak to me. My internal voice is a beast, you see. That won't go quietly into the night. I choose peace, but I am prepared for the fight. Not life for life, but thought for thought. I ask, I seek, I knock. A traveler in this land, more than just man. That label has been diminished by the horrific deeds the girls and boys have witnessed. You can call me Carl and individually define, or you can say, ooh, bay, and hop aboard this cloud. The flight is not that loud, but it is powered by spirit. If you listen close, you'll hear it. So let's uplift this community with Tamaya and John. Stand in the gap, intercede, prepare for the storm. Improve our mental health to gain generational wealth. An impoverished mind state directly relates to diminished health. Become healers, not dealers of scams and schemes. Do our research to understand what it means. If you look close enough, it is what it says. Stage. Theme.
What a beautiful poem.
Right.
Thank you.
Wow.
Oh my, and I even heard my name in there. Shut up.
Yeah,
wow.
Thank
you. That was beautiful.
All right.
All right.
That's some of what I do. I'm a concept artist, and so I create based around what's currently going on, things that I know and things that I talk about. So, you know, I created that this morning, you know, to open up this beautiful talk show that we have here.
Wow.
So thank you guys for having me on.
Well, I love it. Well, tell me something. What made you get into doing poetry? You know, how did you develop that? Because it's not easy to do poetry. It's not easy at all.
Words have always been my friend in books. Growing up in Central Florida, my mom was a Jehovah's Witness, and we weren't allowed to associate with a lot of the kids at school. I was the only boy in the house of three girls, and I read a lot. I've always been into books. I've always read a lot. And I don't know, I guess poetry has just kind of always been a natural gift to me. I created my first poem in like the ninth grade. That was a poem that came from sadness called I'll Fly Away. So it was always been a way for me to say a lot by saying a little, you know, because poetry oftentimes has many, many layers to it. And based upon, you know, the level of understanding and where you've been and what you are currently going through, you're going to understand different things in poetry. So I like to speak in layers. So that's when I first started doing poetry as a way of expressing myself.
Hmm.
Well,
so how long you been doing?
I've been doing it, off and on, I've been doing it since I was like about 12, 13 years old, writing little poems and poetry. Then I got into my rapping game. I took a turn for the worse after school and got into the streets. And so I got into rapping and, you know, talking about all that. And fortunately, I got incarcerated and did 15 and a half years. And it's there where I rediscovered my poetry. And I actually started back writing poems because it was one of my hustles. I know I can write poems. A lot of guys would like to see, and I didn't have anybody to write personally at that moment. If that part is a longer story than I'll get into right now. But I would write letters for guys and put it on their gift cards and stuff like that. So that's how I first started back writing poetry. I would have them, you know, like give me old letters that their people had, their wives and girlfriends and stuff had wrote them, and then I would create poems out of it. We'd sit down and I would talk to them about how they felt about her. And I would write poems for them, and you know, and they would pay me for it.
And also, you was a executive director for Black Zebra Charity.
Yes.
Black Zebra. Who was them?
Well, Black Zebra Charity, we grow and develop artists. We have artists who collaborate with one another and to collaborate with small businesses. We also have the Black Zebra Impact Team, which is a team of videographers that go out and do a lot of social work. If you look up Black Zebra Production Team or Black Zebra Productions on Facebook or Instagram, you'll see them out filming a lot of the things that have been happening in the community, dealing with the homeless, dealing with police abuse, abusing their authority, dealing with a lot of different social aspects out in a day-to-day about what's really happening. Like, we have, like, some footage of where people have been ran over, protesters and stuff like that. So a lot of protesting may be on the front line. But we also go to small businesses and allow them to utilize the videographers, you know, that we have with the Impact Team. We go to small businesses and we go to, like, fashion shows and wherever you can hit the Impact Team up on blackzebracharity.org or Black Zebra Impact Team, if you would like to call them out and you have some social service or commentary that you would like for us to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question here. How does Black Zebra use that raw footage to make a difference in the community?
Well, we show the community the truth of what's going on behind the scenes. Because in the news, a lot of the news is watered down and censored, and they don't show you what's real because they have a lot of political losses that they can take. And so even with sometimes on dealing with Facebook and other things, like, they won't really show you what's actually going on, what's actually happening at this protest, what the police are actually doing, what they're actually doing to the homeless and some of these things. And so they just open up and allow the community to see for themselves. Like, we don't provide any, shall we say, like journalism aspect. We don't get into that. We just raw footage, and then we turn that into a documentary. So the team is also working with the Sacramento Bee. And we have several documentaries that we put out on that. And as far as the artist side of it, we help artists to get their work out, you know, and to collaborate and to meet with small businesses and bring those elements together. Because now, especially since COVID came, we've been, you know, visiting various small businesses and helping them to get people to come into their area. Because now it's all about creating an experience, right, in the community and allowing other community members to mix and mingle and network with each other. Because together we can make a bigger difference than separate. So that's something that we do with the village.
Absolutely. And before we get too far into this conversation, I want to go back to your poetry for a minute, because I don't think our listeners fully understand the importance of having a channel to release some of your frustrations and anxiety. And I studied poetry before. Actually, one of my favorite poets is Rilke. I don't know if you're familiar with Rilke, but I also studied Langston Hughes in college. And it doesn't matter what century it is, what decade, the feelings are timeless. Feelings that humans cycle through, they're timeless. They're going to be the same feelings, different events that bring about certain feelings. How important was it for you, and what made you choose poetry as opposed to rap to channel your feelings, the various feelings that you were feeling?
For me, poetry was more in depth than say rap. I could cover more topics and I didn't have to go with a beat, because oftentimes I didn't have a beat except for my own internal beat. And so I kind of fused the two together. And when I write out, it sounds more like poetry. Often a lot of lyricists, if there are real lyricists, then they are poets at heart. And so I still, you know, rap on occasion as Uwe, depending on my crowd. But I got into the spoken word poetry scene after I got released, and I was, you know, performing some of my stuff, and one of the counselors at the transitional, Lonnie Ayala, shout out to Lonnie, he told me about Michael Ellis, the poet Michael Ellis, in keynotes. And I went down there and, you know, just as a way of expressing myself and getting that out. So I started to, you know, like, doing more poetry, because I didn't even know that poetry was a thing. I didn't know it was like a poetry scene, and, you know, and then I met Terry Moore and a few other poets here in Sacramento. Yeah.
Yeah, I know Michael Ellis. He's real good too. You know, man, he's really good. Matter of fact, I went to one of you guys. Didn't you guys do a show downtown?
Yeah, we did a play. We did a play, and I performed one of my poems. Actually, I could do that poem for you now if you would like. Called "Where Shall I Go?" I'll do it briefly. What's that growl? The emptiness of my being. My methods are scandalous and demeaning, but I'm hungry, so I'm keen. I'm ravenous like a demon, value cleaning. Out of all morals, not profitable this season. Something has to change, something has to give. I'm so sorry, Lord, but I can't eat kids. I have no blessings of prosperity, so strangers beware of me. Savagery becomes second nature. I just need the money, I don't hate you. My knees are 13, ought to eat and stay clean. A decent pair of jeans like the other team. Dreams of a better life, sleep with no gunfights, no fighting, got killed, why? Others don't share, they only snicker and stare. You're broke, who cares, a waste of air. At a tender age, so much rage, I gotta get paid. A broke nigga's the worst kind of slave. A product of the environment, a struggle to survive, not misintent. Lord, I repent and get sent, why my soul has sent? Lent don't pay me. It's a tragedy, unattractively, the ghetto lights illuminate the kid who's aspiring to live big, the convict, the bid, finished before it begins. Where shall I go? Where have I been? Pass me a bottle, blow some smoke in the wind. It's just another scandalous night, any ghetto night. They always say I'm wrong, but they don't understand my life. I'm just trying to eat, so let me be. But that's just a portion of the one that we did called When I Get Free. And the reason why I added that one in, because that was written when I first got incarcerated in 2003 in the Sacramento County Jail. And I wrote that, and I started waking up out of being drunk, waking up out of being high, waking up out of that mentality and realizing what was actually going on. And so I wrote that poem. That was the first poem that I had written in a really long time.
Wow, that's powerful, man, powerful. Okay, I got to say this here right here. You're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and our special guest is Mr. Carl Robinson. And, this is a very powerful talk show, and I wanted to let you guys know now, if y'all want to ask Carl a question or elaborate on something, press 1, and I would let you in. Okay, also, Carl, I wanted to ask you another question. You are the founder of how you pronounce that? So cool. Bodywear.
So cool.
Bodywear, LLC. Tell us a little bit about your company. I know we got a lot of stuff to go through, but tell us a little bit about your company, Bodywear LLC.
Okay, So Cool Bodywear is a custom designer fashion apparel. I started that while I was inside, and because I wanted to develop something for the small-time designers, because I've seen that a lot of people, especially our people of color, we feed into things that are not our own, right? That are not our designs and don't really represent us in the way that it should. And there's power in clothing. Clothing is an identity, especially if you're in blue, right, or orange, if you're in county jail for long amounts of time. One thing I used to dream about was getting dressed. But I didn't want that me getting dressed to not have any significance. I wanted it to mean something. And so I designed So Cool Bodywear that I want the clothes that I wear to mean something. So when I wear it, you know what I'm representing, you know what I stand for. And so I design jewelry as well, based around like the chakras, or if you have imbalances, or your astrological symbols, you know, things that mean something to you, or whatever means something to you. I design it around that. So I have jewelry and apparel that's designed around that. And currently, I'm gearing up to have So Cool is going to have Label Me Free, which is going to consist of, you know, multiple small business designers. you know, people of color that are trying to get into the market, and we're going to offer their clothing in a catalog to the incarcerated people who are in jail and prison, because like, when you get ready to come home, you don't have any clue of what you can wear, right? You don't have like catalogs anymore. Like most catalogs are just like East Bay and stuff like that. So you don't have like a real sense of what it is. So I figure if you can introduce those who need that type of promotion and who need a whole different demographic of people that can come home and wear their gear, feel fresh, and have something that means something to them, that represents something, and that's what we're going to offer. So that's what's so cool about it. Where it was founded upon, and that's what I continue to push.
Okay.
All righty. It also mentions here you have another company. It's called Cool Hounds, Canine Communication Coaching. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Yes. Now, Cool Hounds is also one of my passions. So Cool Hounds is, I do canine communication coaching. I don't call it training because it's more about communication and being able to communicate with your dog. I first got into that through a program called the Positive Change Program. I'm busy. It's called the Positive Change Program in California City, California, with Marty's Mutt's Dog Rescue. They had that. Zach Scow was recently on the Ellen DeGeneres show, man. Shout out to Zach for following his passion and doing his work. And so what it did is going while I was inside and being able to train dogs allowed me an opportunity to really tap into myself and get to know myself. And when you're dealing, like us as human beings, we have a higher consciousness, right? Or we have the ability to have a higher consciousness. But when we operate in our animal nature, meaning we're still chasing after immediate gratification and our needs for food and shelter and, you know, and clothing and certain emotional needs, when we're still in our animal nature, we're still much like dogs are, right? And so I deal with a lot of dogs who have anxiety, who have aggression issues, right, who are fearful, who are timid. And a lot of times they might be fear-forward, meaning that they'll bite you because they're afraid. And I recognize that quality within myself, and I recognize that quality in others and the people that I was around. And I saw that it was a great way to get people to tap into themselves through the dog, you know what I mean, and save the dog's life. But a lot of the dogs that we would get would be euthanized. So I deal a lot with dogs who have been rescued from the pound that was on the chopping block. I believe that everybody deserves a second chance, third chance, fourth chance at times. To rehabilitate themselves to a real genuine chance with somebody who understands and communicates with them. So I get these dogs, you know, they have behavior issues, and, you know, people are on the brink like, oh, I can't stand this dog, it's tearing up my stuff. Well, that's because it has anxiety about you leaving and departing. And if you depart in a certain way and you train it that, if you can come back and it knows and it understands that, then it has that opportunity to balance. And so it gives me an opportunity to first deal with something that's just based on my knowledge, and it gives me something that I can really create a generous income for myself. You know what I mean? Like my minimum is $65 an hour, so I'm not stuck I didn't want to get out and be in no minimum wage type status. I wanted to write my own book, create my own life, my own chapter, control my own fortune, and be based upon, you know, how hard or what I know. So I can take my knowledge and turn my knowledge into a business and my passion, and so I can help both animal and human being at the same time, as well as, you know, make some money from it. So it was like a no-brainer.
Okay. Very impressive. Now, what type of dogs do you actually train? I mean, because I was asked to ask you that, what type of dogs that you train? Big dogs, small dogs? All dogs,
big, small, it don't matter what breed it is. Like I said, but mostly I train troubled dogs, you know, rescue dogs who have issues. They have behavioral issues, and so they need a certain type of communication. They aren't very balanced. So they might have aggression issues toward other dogs or toward human beings. So just dogs that have, like, even I do some basic training too as well. I'm always dealing with troubled dogs. I do basic training and a class called Walking the Walk. I do that as well. And I'm also gearing up to train other trainers, specifically, you know, the formerly incarcerated, not just the formerly incarcerated, I like to extend it out to everyone, but for the formerly incarcerated to be able to have a transitional home that they can come to and they can learn a particular skill set and begin to develop themselves, and they can transition with somebody that's already been through that transition and is being successful in society, you know, and they can, you know, work things out while dealing with these dogs.
Now we hear so many bad things and negative things about pit bulls. Mm. Are they hard to train?
No, man, pit bulls are some of the sweetest, easiest dogs to train. They just have that stereotype of much like us. You know what I mean? Like me being a black man is like that stereotype. I remember when I had like long hair, right? And I walked up, I had not dreadlocks, I just had like a big fro, and my sister had just took it out, and it was all up in the fro, and I walked up to the corner, you know, to get something from the store, and it was like all these people, you know, black people too, it wasn't even the white people, they were locking their doors like, oh, ladies, and that really hurt my feelings, because like if something was to happen to you, like right now, you don't know, I'd be the first person to risk my life to, you know, jump in that car and try to help you with anything. I'm not trying to rob you or nothing, just based upon how I look or from the stereotypes that's been put out. So, you know, people propagate fear because the biggest fighters that actually bite are actually chihuahuas, right? They're the biggest fighters. You're going to get the most bite, and they don't cause the most damage, and the ones that cause the most damage are German Shepherds. They aren't pit bulls at all. But pit bulls are very smart, and sometimes they can be willful, and if you aren't calm and assertive person, then they are not going to abide by what you want them to do. And if you have the visualization, like I often tell people, like dogs are telepathic. If you're visualizing them biting you, then that's what they're going to do, you know, because they don't understand your fear. They don't understand why you're getting emotional. And they're going to take that as a threat. So a lot of times they're fear-forward, as I said, and they'll attack. And they've just been bred to hunt bulls, and when they attack, they tend to lock on. So they've been bred to fight and things of this nature, and therefore they got a bad rap. But I deal with a lot of pit bulls, and they're some of the sweetest dogs.
Yeah, because me, myself, I always did thought the pit bulls was the most vicious one. I thought German Shepherds was more of a easy dog, you know, but the way they're not.
No. Statistically, if you're looking at bites, it's Chihuahuas number one, and German Shepherds number two.
Chihuahuas, them little bitty dogs, they'll bite you faster than a pit bull.
Yeah, bite faster than anything else.
Wow.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't communicate with them. And it's all about the communication. They don't see the signs. And that's what I do. I teach people the signs. You don't see that, you know, his forehead is furrowed up, or it might have his tail tucked, or it's lifting up his paw, and it's pausing, and it's questionable. And since it's a smaller dog, a lot of times, like just like with a lot of things that smaller people continue to push, right? And then it has no other recourse. And then it learns to lash out by biting, right? And then once it's successful by biting and someone backs up in fear, I'm like, oh, okay. Then now it takes that, like, okay, this is how I communicate. When I don't want you to mess with me, I bite.
All right. Okay, I'm going
to
do one more. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I got a question before you make that announcement. Earlier, Mr. Robinson, you had mentioned that there's a lot of similarities between humans and animals, and you just gave an example of when a pit bull senses fear. That's when they are most likely to attack. In what way is similar to when a human senses fear? What actions or responses have you noticed in humans when they sense fear with other humans?
Oh, yeah. When humans sense fear from other humans, they'll attack. I mean, some physically, some verbally will attack when they're afraid of you. And if you ask me, I think a lot of that racism that's going on is just simply because of fear. You know, if people see you and they become afraid, and then they go on the attack because they've been given this fear, like, oh, this black man is bad, and they should know there's like shootings with the police. A lot of that is done out of fear, especially with black men. Like, they're afraid this black man's going to attack them. They've been told this black man is evil. A lot of it isn't done out of malice. I've dealt with a lot of officers, and they're more afraid of anything, right? Now, they cover it up with aggression because we've been taught to cover things up with aggression. If you have people that run around with guns, it's because they're afraid. Right? They're afraid, and they say, oh, you say, the protection and fear goes one hand in hand. Right? You can't say, oh, okay, I'm not afraid, but yet you have this weapon that you feel like you need protection. Right? And the minute someone pops up on you or just might so happens to be getting loud with you or something, then you lash out with aggression.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, you guys are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. With Mr. Carl Robinson. He's our special guest, and our host today is John Antamaya. Okay, and I see someone have their hand up, and they've been having their hand up since the show began. So what I'm going to do is ask them if they have their hand up, if they wanted to say something. Okay, I'm going to let them in. Okay, caller from last four numbers, 4880. Please state your name and where you're calling from, and you have your hand up. I wanted to find out if you wanted to say something.
Hello, everybody. Hello, I forgot the young man. You said so much, I forgot his name again.
His name is Carl Robinson.
Carl, okay, Carl, yeah, man, it's very interesting stuff I heard you speak on, especially the dog training. That's something I love doing, used to anyway, in my young days. But your poetry is excellent, man. I hope you got some books out there together.
Yeah, that's on the line. I've been holding myself off from doing that, but I'm going to create some audio books. I think that would be more impactful, especially with the way that people read. I know I don't even read as much as I used to, but I'm definitely going to be some audio books coming soon and, you know, pushing that material out. You know, my people have been getting on me like, when are we going to get a book from you? Yeah. So I'm going to be putting that together soon, probably like the first of the year.
Yeah, well, that's good, man, because it sounds pretty good, man. And believe me, right now at this time, some good poetry is needed to read, especially for a lot of the younger generations right now. You know, some more positive direction they can go into, man, because there's not much out there, you know.
Amen.
If you don't mind me asking, I'm not trying to dispose of anything or anything about you, but how old are you?
Oh, I'm 44.
Oh, okay, man, you sound like a 25-year-old.
All right,
yeah, okay. I keep the best.
Yeah, but,
okay,
I really enjoyed what you had to say, man. I'm going to keep my ears on and listen to a whole lot of good things. And I'm hoping at the end of the show, maybe that's a way I can kind of contact on some of the things you said on this phone I'm using right now. I couldn't hear everything. Some of the different organizations, some are very interesting, man. That's part of my life journey. Being a recovering alcohol drug addict for 38 years, I love helping others, you know.
Amen.
Any way I can. Yeah, so I get with John and see if I can get some contact information on how to reach you sometime, maybe. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is the moment everybody been waiting for, and that's been the Bitcoin, how to invest in Bitcoin and how to make your money make money. So we're going to have Mr. Carl Robinson, our special guest, talk about that. We got 10 minutes left on the show.
Okay. So I'm a spiritual person. Let's say that first and foremost. And what I'm about to say next might sound odd to some people if you don't follow your spiritual intuition. All right, so right around November 18th, that week thereof last year, during the election, right? I began to get, you know, like, signs from Spirit talking about, you know, cryptocurrency this, cryptocurrency that, Bitcoin that. Now, let's keep in mind that Bitcoin is the first form of cryptocurrency that came out. So it's the most popular. So a lot of people say Bitcoin. The other coins that came after that are called altcoins. But all together, they're called cryptocurrencies. As of today, there are over 2,000-something cryptocurrencies or forms thereof, and they do multiple things. Some of them are token coins, which is currency, but some of them just support blockchain communities or blockchain platforms. And they have non-fungible tokens, you know, stuff like that as well. But not all of them are, shall we say, spendable like currencies, like fiat currencies, which is like the money that US dollar. So that being said, you know, I kept getting these signs talking about currency, cryptocurrency, cryptocurrency this, cryptocurrency that, and I was on the talk show with Let's Close the Deal show with Terrence McRae, and he had a multimillionaire guy on there, a lot of business people on there, and they were all talking, and he was like, look, behind closed doors, the largest redistribution of wealth in history is happening because of cryptocurrency. Like, pay attention. Y'all need to go check out cryptocurrency. Y'all need to, like I'm not allowed to, and I'm saying the same thing like he just said, I'm not allowed to give any financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. Anything that I'm saying can be based upon education and recreation. Just to say that, like, they, you know, the powers that be, you know, I want you talking about this out loud. Right, so I'm not advising you to buy any cryptocurrency, but please do research. All right. So that being said, you know, I started checking this stuff out, and so as I kept getting these signs, I said, okay, well, if this is true, how do I get into cryptocurrency first and foremost? How do I get some Bitcoin or whatever? If I had seen it popped up on my Cash App and all that stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, how do I get cryptocurrency? What is it? How do I get my money out, right, of that? And I say, so if this is true, then let me see how I get my money out of Bitcoin. I said, well, okay, well, how do I get my money out of Bitcoin? And they said, oh, okay, we have Bitcoin ATM, right? And so me being a logical linear thinker, I'm like, okay, well, if this is as widespread as they say it is, then it should be some Bitcoin ATMs near me, right? So I just typed that in and did a Google search, and I'm here in Sacramento, and like 30 Bitcoin ATMs popped up. I'm like, okay, wow, this is a thing, right? And so I said, okay, well, let me Google Florida. You know what I mean? Florida's a little slower than California. California is a progressive technological state. And I said, okay, let me try Florida. And okay, let me try Georgia. Let me try Mississippi. And all these states had Bitcoin ATM and not just a few of them. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is the thing. And so I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, well, since they're talking about inflation, right, and the U.S. dollar, why is kept is losing 20% every year, right, in inflation, meaning that if you have $100 this year, next year, it's only worth $8. And the year after that, it's only worth $60. And the year after that, it's only worth $40. Right? And so the large corporations and people are gathering together, and the U.S. dollar is no longer an asset. So keeping your money in banks and things of that nature, you are not going to have the purchasing power that you have now 30 years from now. The money is going to be gone. So they're utilizing this as an asset. And so they have this inflation. So what they're doing with fiat currency, which is means it's the power of the government, the fiat currency that they have, U.S. dollar, is based upon nothing, right? So imagine if, like, I could just go to my books, right? Like, say I owed you $500, right? And I only had $100. And I could just go to the bank, and now I can just write out and say, you know what? I'm just going to change this $100 into $500, and I'm going to give it to you. Right? That's basically what the U.S. government does is U.S. dollar. They just change numbers. So that's why they can print up trillions of dollars and give it out for stimulus and all that stuff, because it's backed by nothing but besides we say so. And so I knew that either side, be it Republican or Democrat, whoever lost, right, would decide that, no, I'm not rocking with this no more, because it was so polarized, right? And I said Bitcoin is going to go up, right? And so I said, you know what, I'm going to buy in. So the night of the election, right, I bought in to Bitcoin, right? I put $250, I transferred it over to Coinbase.com, figured out how to do all that, transferred $250 over the night of the election. 2 days later, I got, what, no, I had like $520, right? 2 days later, I'm like, oh, man, I'm on, right? So I'm moving. So then it's just start skyrocketing. Because when I bought into Bitcoin, it was about $18,000. And that was just in November. That was just a year ago. It was about $18,000. And since then, off that $250 in cryptocurrency trading and different platforms, I've averaged around about $18,000 off of $250. So needless to say, I ain't never did that. Even selling drugs, I ain't never did that. You know what I mean? And it's all in it, you know. So I said, you know what, it's the way to go for me. And I started listening and I started seeing how the, you know, the banks and the institutions and Walmarts and PayPal and Venmos, you know, they all are, when the market goes down, if you're paying attention, that's when the institutions buy. They'll come in and they'll buy $500 million worth, right? Because that's how they do. That's how they work the regular stock market. So it's the same way, right? They'll start dumping. The people be like, oh, it's falling, right? And so everybody starts selling their stuff. As soon as it gets back low again, then they'll start buying like billions of dollars worth of it. And so, you know, it's a cat and mouse game. But I've seen that. And once I've seen that, so these people don't make stupid decisions with their money, right? They're not going to just go blow $1 billion on something that's not going to be around.
Wow. So if someone wanted to invest, let's say right now, into what currency you would recommend for them to invest in?
Besides
Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is so high right now. I think Bitcoin is what, about $60,000. So if you invest $200 in it, you're not going to really get that much for your money. But they got other coins out there like, you know, 50 cent, you know, and you invest $250 into that, you're going to make some money, especially if it go up, right? Is that how that working?
Yeah, one thing about Bitcoin, well, now it went up to 60, but now it went back down to 49, so it fluctuates. It's called what they call volatility in the market. So me, personally, I'm not, you know, financially allowed, I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not going to recommend anyone to purchase any particular type of Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm going to stick with that. But what I can say is go in and do your research, and if you reach out to me on the Financial Unity Network, one of my platforms that my sister and I have, and we have platforms that we are involved in where it isn't so risky of or volatile of a market, right? So we're involved in this one platform where as a member, you can learn about cryptocurrency, right? You can watch videos and stuff, and you can learn about blockchain. You can learn about different type of cryptocurrencies, and you have the opportunity to invest in currencies that are just about to hit the open market before it has the open market. So it's kind of like a pre-sale. You can invest in those. But a part of your membership rewards is you get 300% of whatever cryptocurrency you put in, right? So currently I put in 300 and my return on that is 900 automatically.
All right.
Now allow AI to trade.
Okay. I don't want to stop you, but we only got a minute and stuff left on the show. And what I need for you to give, let the audience know where they can get in contact with you for further information.
Okay, if you are on Facebook, you can look me up at Carl Robinson. I'm in Sacramento. If you look up Oobay, O-O-O-H-B-A-Y, you can also probably find me easier because Carl Robinson is a really popular name. You can look up blackzebracharity.org, and you can see me there. Go to Teams, and you can find me there. You'll see me as Carl Robinson. On Instagram, you can look me up on Oobaykool. That's Oobaykool. And if all else fails, you can just outright email me at carlrobinson415@gmail.com. If that's easy for you, and I can contact those other people.
Okay, well, Carl, if you have anything positive that you want to tell the audience, you got 30 seconds left on the show, but, you know, take about 10 seconds to you know, tell them, put something in their head, something good in their head, the audience.
Be a blessing to get a blessing. Our families need us to be financially well off. to do as much as we can so that the generations that come behind us have a better opportunity, because having your finances together is a way of showing love and reducing stress for us as well as those who come.
Okay, everybody. Well, with that said, you know, I want to thank everybody for calling in. For people to call in, I got quite a few people called in. We only had time to get one person to on the air with us. So I want to thank you guys for calling in, and thank you, Carl, for accepting the invitation to come on Uplifting Communities Talk Show. The show is very powerful, and God bless you guys, and have a good night.
God bless you, too. Have a beautiful
holidays.
Thank you.